Starting 4 years ago, back in July of 2021, a condition known as long COVID was officially added as a recognized condition which could qualify as a real disability under the Americans with Disability Act. And ever since then, whether or not long COVID was a real thing or not, it's been debated extensively in the public arena. On the one hand, you have what I would generally call the medical establishment acknowledging that it does exist. They do believe that long COVID is a thing. Whereas on the other hand, you have people who are incredibly skeptical saying that long COVID is nothing more than a manifestation of hypochondria. Now, we can cover this debate in much greater detail in a separate video, but in the interest of today's episode, let's set this debate aside and let's go along with the medical establishment viewpoint that long COVID does in fact exist. Okay, so with that as the baseline, here's how the CDC actually defines long COVID over on their website. Quote, "Some people who have been infected with a virus that causes COVID-19 can experience long-term effects from their infection, known as long COVID or post-COVID conditions, PCC. Long COVID is broadly defined as signs, symptoms, and conditions that continue or develop after acute COVID-19 infection. People with long COVID can have a wide range of symptoms that can last weeks, months, or even years after infection." They then go on to list out a fairly large collection of long COVID symptoms, including tiredness, fever, difficulty breathing, chest pain, difficulty thinking, dizziness, depression, diarrhea, joint pain, changes in menstrual cycles, and so on and so forth. And so once again, this description and this list, it was published by the CDC roughly 4 years ago. However, just last week, on July 24th, the CDC issued an update regarding long COVID. And in this update, they urged the public health professionals across the whole country to, quote, "promote awareness of long COVID, help combat the stigma that patients with long COVID encounter, and emphasize prevention of long COVID by getting an updated COVID-19 vaccine." And then in a separate long COVID update that happened to be issued on the same day, the CDC also provided an updated list of the symptoms that are now seen to be associated with long COVID, including several new ones that were not listed previously, including heart palpitations, diarrhea, stomach pain, and constipation. They also wrote this regarding several neurological conditions, quote, "fatigue, brain fog, and post-exertional malaise, PEM, are commonly reported symptoms, but more than 200 long COVID symptoms have been identified." Now, 200 distinct symptoms is a lot, making long COVID a fairly large umbrella that encapsulates a lot of people. And given the fact that it's now recognized as a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act, I tried to figure out how many people in this country are currently collecting disability due specifically to long COVID. Now, unfortunately, there was no official source with an answer to that exact question. It's not been reported anywhere, not by the Social Security Administration, neither by the CDC. Nowhere from the government is there a number. However, we can look at several data points and do some back of the envelope math. The most recent long COVID-related survey was conducted by the CDC back in 2023. And it found, with a 95% confidence interval, that, quote, "during 2023, 6.4% of non-institutionalized U.S. adults nationwide were experiencing long COVID when surveyed." Now, in this context, being quote-unquote institutionalized refers to people who are, for instance, in prison, in mental asylums, in nursing homes, they're on active duty in the military, things like that. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in the U.S., there are 273 million non-institutionalized people over the age of 16. Now, if we go back, the CDC was only looking at people who are 18 years old plus. And so if we take away all the minors from that number from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we're left with 264 million people. There are 264 million non-institutionalized adults in the U.S. And so, according to the CDC's latest data, 6.4% of them in 2023 were experiencing long COVID. And so, if we do the math, that's 16.9 people who had long COVID, not including the children. Then, according to that very same CDC study, they found that among the people with long COVID, roughly 20% of them said that it was significantly limiting their daily activities. Quote, "among adults with current long COVID, 19.8% of them reported significant activity limitations due to their symptoms." And so then again, if we go back to our back of the envelope numbers, if 16.9 million people currently have long COVID and 19.8% of those people are experiencing significant limitations because of it. That amounts to roughly 3.3 million people, which is a lot. It's roughly 1% of the US population. And it's a lot of people who would be able to qualify for disability benefits, according at least to the CDC's own current guidelines. Now, it's unclear what percentage of these individuals are claiming those benefits, but for your reference, there are currently roughly 15 million people in the US who receive benefits from one of two different programs. You have SSDI, which is the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, or the SSI, which is the Supplemental Security Income Program. And again, it's unclear what percentage of those 15 million claimants are due to long COVID, but just as a percentage term of those who might qualify according to the CDC's own statistics, it could represent a large portion of the beneficiaries. It could represent roughly 20%, 3 out of 15. But as of right now, we of course don't know. And if I ever get a chance to interview either RFK Jr. or Frank Bisignano, the man currently in charge of Social Security, I will make a point to ask them about it. Regardless though, since we're on the general topic of COVID, I'll also briefly mention that alongside the update that we just went through, the one regarding long COVID, the CDC also just informed the public in regards to the COVID virus generally. Quote, CDC wastewater activity indicates that COVID-19 is increasing in Southeast, Southern, and West Coast states. And just for your reference, the term wastewater activity here refers to the CDC testing the sewer water across the whole country in order to determine what types of viruses, pathogens, and bacteria people are carrying around. And in regards to that update, the CDC also released this map right here showing the sort of a visual of the wastewater levels throughout the U.S. And according to that map, the country as a whole is considered to be low levels of COVID, except for one state, which is Louisiana, which is marked very high, as well as Florida and Hawaii, which are marked as high. And so there you have it, just a short little update on the current state of the virus that seems like almost a distant memory, like it happened in a previous lifetime, but a virus that did shut down the entire world economy. Here's an update for you on that. If you'd like to go deeper into anything we discussed, I'll throw all those CDC links down in the description box below. As you're making your way down there, please smash those like and subscribe buttons so that this video can reach ever more people. And leave your thoughts in the comments. Do you think my math was correct? Do you have long COVID? I mean, I'm sure if 1% of the country says that they have debilitating long COVID, and then 16 million approximately people say that they have some form of long COVID, I'm sure someone watching this video must have it. So leave your thoughts in the comments. How does it feel? What are the symptoms? How do you know it's long COVID versus something else? I mean, there's like a list of 200 different symptoms. So how did you even narrow it down that it was long COVID versus like something else, like fibromyalgia or something like that, or Lyme disease, which also mimics a lot of different things? I'd love to know that that sort of process that you went through. And otherwise, this is the current state of the COVID reporting. It feels, honestly, when this story came across my desk, I just wanted to report on it because there was a period of time when COVID was such a big story that every little update, I was reading about it, going deeper, internalizing it, trying to make sense of kind of where this one story fits into the broader tapestry. And then I would report it between 2020 and 2023. It was like a daily thing. Just kind of a real blast from the past to do this kind of a story. Also, I will mention one other thing. I didn't make it into my full script, but the CDC did publish a different survey from last year showing that across the adult population, roughly somewhere in the range of, it was different throughout the year, but between like 5 and 6% of the population said that they have long COVID, which was in line with the 2023 study, which I think was 6.4%. So it does seem to track over time. The reason I didn't use that 2024 study though was because that was just that was done through a self-reported internet survey, and so it just wasn't as strong of a data point as the one from 2023. But just as an anecdotal data point, it does show that somewhere between 5 to 6% of the total adult population in the U.S. claims that they have long COVID, and then 20% of those people say that they have debilitating long COVID. And so, yeah, it would just be very interesting to look into, especially when you really do consider the amount of disability that could entail. I mean, if you have a full 1% of the population that claims that they suffer from long COVID, and then the list of symptoms is so exhaustive, it's like 200 different symptoms that I can imagine, even if whoever's watching this or whoever's experiencing it, I'm sure there's a subset of people who really are suffering, but when you have a list of 200 symptoms and a lot of them are just things that are like diarrhea or constipation or fatigue, malaise, things like that, I can imagine that that does leave some room for fudging stuff, leave some room for some unscrupulous individuals to go into the disability office and say, hey, you know, I had COVID and now I'm not feeling so good. So yeah, again, leave your thoughts in the comments where you stand on this issue. Otherwise, see you next time. It's been Roman from Epic Times. Stay informed, and most importantly, stay free.